It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, and so please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. We're going to begin once again with chapter 1, verse 1, as we just begin this study. And so please that you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. We have many messages there, so please, Bible studies through the radio ministry and also some Sunday morning messages, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation. Please, that you take a look at our website. If you'd like to email us, it's Parkview Bible, just parkviewbible@gmail.com. Our address to mail in the to send us a letter would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341, and our phone number here is 217-847-2717. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bible, and we're going to read from Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of a seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. We're going to end with that ninth verse in the reading, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy the study of your precious word. Please that you will guide and lead us, touch every heart, those that do not know you as their Savior. They have never accepted you as their Savior. They've never invited you into their heart. They're lost, Father. They need salvation. Please, through your Spirit today, touch their heart that they would invite you to come into their heart and save them. And please, Lord, then that they would, through email or phone call or through the mail, that they would contact us just so we would know, just so we could pray for them that they can begin to grow. Because, Father, the purpose of this radio ministry is to bring people to the Lord Jesus, to grow people in you. And please, dear Lord, that they will each day get closer and closer to you. The study in the book of Romans is a wonderful study. Just guide and lead us now. Give me the wisdom of what to speak, and just guide and lead us today. Be with us today with your Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked last week, and we just kind of opened the door just a little bit to this first chapter and the first verse of the book of Romans, and we touched just a little bit on the Apostle Paul. And I would like to go just a little bit deeper into his life, of what we know about his life, so that you can understand the great change that was that has taken place in this man called Paul. And we know, of course, his name originally was Saul. We always make the statement Saul of Tarsus, and that's where he was from. And it is a city in Cilicia, and Paul, or Saul, was a full-blood Jew. He was a tribe of Benjamin. He was a citizen of Rome, and he was a citizen of Rome because of his father. And he was a Pharisee. And so these things we have learned of Paul, being having the opportunity to be a Pharisee, this came about because he was able, due to his father — we know very little about his mother, nothing about his mother, actually — but because of his father, he was allowed to attend some of the finest schools. And in doing that, why, we find that he studied under Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers. He was a doctor, held a doctor's degree, and had great honors that he held as a professor, as a teacher of the law. And Paul sat underneath him to learn the law of God. And so what a wonderful opportunity that he had. We find that not only this Gamaliel was a great teacher of the law, but we also find that he had a character that was different than some of the other teachers. Some of the other teachers were just so emphatic about this is the way it is. But I want to read to you in Acts chapter 5, verse 34 through 39, concerning this man and this doctor, and how that he examined things. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 5. And so if you would take your time and take time to turn there with me, and I hope that you can. If you're traveling right now, I know that's impossible, but I would love to for you to be able to read it along with me. Acts the chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with verse 34. "Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God." You see, this man named Gamaliel, he had some wisdom. And he had watched these other men, they had raised up, and it went to naught. And he said, now, let's just watch these men, because if we see a little earlier here, and I can read in the fifth chapter back in verse 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Who him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And that's when Gamaliel stood up and says, wait a minute here. Let's hold back, because if they're of God, we should not stand in their road. If they are against God and it's as these other men, then it'll just go away. And so he is also a very wise man, we find. Not only just a man of the law, as the other Jewish Israel leaders were, he is a man that used some sense here. Tradition tells us, and this is very interesting, but again, it's just tradition, but it tells us that Gamaliel got saved. And at the same time, Gamaliel, his son, and Nicodemus were baptized at the same time. They were saved and baptized. And I think that's very interesting because that's just tradition. We know Nicodemus was saved, but we find it seems that this Gamaliel was too. And he was willing to listen. You know, you need to be willing to listen. Maybe you've been in church and we talk about Jesus Christ and coming by faith to him, believing in your heart and just calling up on him for salvation. Scripture tells us here in Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and saved, and it's saved eternally. If this is contrary to your teaching and some of the things that the men, as we just read in Acts, were they cut them in the heart. They didn't like what they were hearing. Gamaliel was willing to listen. And I'm asking today that you listen to the Spirit of God and you come by faith to Jesus today if you're not saved. The Gamaliel was a Pharisee. And then in turn, Paul, or Saul at this time, he has taken on now, under the teaching of Gamaliel, he has listened to this law, and he has become very strong towards the law, much more than Gamaliel. It seemed like that Saul, to be Paul, didn't have the sense that Gamaliel had. He was a Pharisee. Now, the word Pharisee means separated, and it's they look at the strictest view of the law. It was the priests and the scribes. They kind of developed and was into the inner development of Israel. This has come after the captivity. It started around the time of Zerubbabel and Ezra. And so I want you to understand, number one, the background of Saul, Paul, when he was taught as a child almost. It was very young when he went under the teaching of Gamaliel, and again, one of the greatest teachers, doctors of that time. And so they developed this. Pharisees were in kind of two groups as they joined together to be called the Sanhedrin, and they were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees were mostly of the priestly line, and the Pharisees of the scribes. And so they were both scribes and priests, but the Sadducees were the priests as a whole, and they held the rank, and the Pharisees were the rank of scribes. One big difference here was that the Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees, they did. They believed in the resurrection. So you see, there was quite a difference between them doctrinally, and it's very important that we see that. We go back into Paul's day here. We find that he was at trade. He had a trade, and that trade was a tent maker. Now, we're going to look once again in Acts here just a little bit longer, and we may not get much more than just the introduction to Paul here, but we need to see who Paul is and what Paul is made of in his past and the transition, the new man that we see come out, and we're going to read about that today. But first, we're going to start in Acts chapter 6, the 8th verse, because this is the first time that we find this man, Saul, come on the picture, and it was with Stephen. Chapter 6, verse 8 of the book of Acts. Chapter 6, verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen's life seemed to be very short, but he was really a powerful man of God. Again, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And then we move to the first verse of chapter 7, just beyond that. So Acts chapter 7, verse 1. And we see, then said the high priest, are these things so? They had a question of what Stephen was preaching. And he said, Stephen, men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our fathers Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Canaan. Now, we're going to just jump for the purpose of reading all these verses. Please read these verses the next day or so, if you could, please. We're going to go all the way to verse 48 and kind of catch up on the speech. And it covers Moses in verse 35, verse 39, and to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt. And they were talking about as they were delivered out of the land of Egypt and how they desired to go back, and were there no graves in Egypt. And then we come to a place, and I've just kind of started here in verse 48, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophets. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Once again, similar people, Stephen, continued to proclaim the word of God. They were cut in the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly, this is Stephen, into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You know, if I didn't tell you that was Stephen with that kind of a testimony and witness, you'd have thought it was Paul, didn't you? No, this time Paul, or Saul here, his name has not been changed, is still on the side of the law. He was taught by Gamaliel, but it seems that the law stuck, the strictness of the law, and he found no room in his life for Jesus Christ. Stephen found all the room for Jesus, and Jesus came into his heart and saved him, and he became a mighty preacher, and for that he died. For that he died. And as we read the last of these scriptures here in verse 58 again, and they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This was Stephen. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We find this young man, Stephen, a tremendous preacher of the gospel, and yet Saul was to a place and of power and position that he really authorized the stoning to death of Stephen. That's the man that we call Paul. That's the man that we call Paul. Now, let's go to the 8th chapter here, and we're going to read just the first 4 verses of this chapter. And Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You see, sometimes things work out a little contrary to what man would think. They kept trying to stifle the word of God, stop the word of God. And because of the persecution of Saul, it scattered around the known world at the time. And they went preaching. And so we see, once again, what this man Saul or Paul was made of. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And so he hated the church. He hated anyone that stood with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's when things are going to begin to get exciting and important. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we find once again, and Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slander against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and desiring of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, in other words, Christians, confessing Christians, born-again believers, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem, put them in chains, bring them home, put them in prison, back to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He has seen a vision, and a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority for the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Christians, but they went about to slay him. This, I want you to see, the transition, what happens when you're born again. We don't all see a bright light that blinds us, and God sends a messenger as Ananias to come. If you'll notice, Ananias didn't want to come. That's how. What kind of testimony that Saul had. He did not want to. The disciples, after a great period of time, the disciples did not trust him. He had caused so much destruction to the church, so much destruction in killing of Christians and binding Christians and putting them in prison, that they didn't want anything to do with him. But we find here that Barnabas come and said, no, he's trusted in Jesus. He's a new man. His heart has changed. Now, this is the human author that God chose to write the book of Romans and to have such a tremendous testimony in the rest of the book of Acts and then on into Romans of how he took the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus to a lost and dying world. Please that you do not miss who this man is, who he was, who he is now. And so I wanted to take more time than I thought to look at that. I wanted you to see the teacher, the doctor, Gamaliel, who had taught him the law, and how that it's believed by tradition that he got saved. He saw the light. But this Paul of Tarsus, a Roman citizen, a full-blood Jew of the family of Benjamin. That's who we're going to look at here, and it's very important that you remember that he is a Roman citizen, because the things that they do and some of the times that come up to Paul, they all of a sudden have a little different look at it because they find out he's a Roman citizen. They think he's just a Jew. They think he's one of those Christians. Well, he is a Christian born again. We read that he was saved on the road to Damascus. What a wonderful time that we see when Paul saw the light. And when you get saved, and I hope that you get saved, I hope you're saved already, but if you are not saved, I pray that you get saved very, very soon. Today is the day of salvation, so please don't look away from the Lord Jesus. This Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He has come to proclaim the word of God. That's the first three verses of the first chapter of Romans. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But he wasn't born a Christian. No one is born a Christian. You must be born again. And so please, call upon the Lord Jesus for your salvation. Trust. I don't care your religion. I don't care where you go. You need Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus will lead you through his word. And then please that you just look to him for power and for strength, because he will save you. He will set you on a road of righteousness. Please listen to him today. Call upon him today. Do what Paul did. Now, Paul was a persecutor of the church. Maybe you've been the same thing. You've made fun of those people that say you must be born again. Well, let's have that heart changed today, as his heart was changed as he went from a persecutor of the church to a believer and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've even looked at that he is the Lord's slave, serving with joy, a preacher of the great gospel of God. What an opportunity that Paul has now. Finally, for the first time, he has found his place in life. And until you're born again, I don't care how wealthy or how well you've done, you have not found your place. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?